East Timor, or Timor-Leste, has a population of only 1.2 million people, so it's a relatively small population, but still the official results will be announced only in a few days' time. I spoke to an official Australian observer, Damien Kingsbury. When I spoke to him, he had just come back from a tour around the island and was now in the capital, Dili, and I asked him what he saw.
It's been a very good election process. It's been quite well run. It's been very positive. And as elections are here, it's been a celebration of the opportunity and the right to be able to vote for political leaders. So it's been a good process. It's important to note that this is the first election that's been run without the assistance of the international community. And although there's been some technical issues, they've been quite minor and it's been run very well. It's been a very successful process so far.
Now it's the expectation that Francisco Guterres, nicknamed Lu Olu, will win. He was once the general coordinator of the resistance against the Indonesian occupation. And Dr. Ko Ying Hoi of the University of Malaya in Kuala Lumpur says that the revolutionary fighters who fought for the liberation of Timor from the Indonesian occupation that ended 15 years ago are still very much in charge.
The voting result, as we have right now, shown the reality of Timorese consensus politics. The result has highlighted that the country's leadership is still largely dominated by high-profile resistance leaders, for example, Sanana Gusmao, and also Jose Ramos Horta, as well as the departing president, Tau Matan Rua, and the former prime minister, Mari Alkatiri, has strengthened that Timorese are still voting based on the party's history.
Today, East Timor is fighting with Australia about large stretches of sea containing oil, a case that is brought for an international tribunal in The Hague. If Timor wins, it could gain billions of euros worth of exploitation rights. But what about its other neighbor, Indonesia, that has occupied the island in a violent way? Well, Damien Kingsbury, the Australian observer, told me he had visited polling places not far from the border with Indonesia. He didn't see any signs of Indonesian pressure, and he explains why.
There was an official decision taken many years ago that the two countries needed to establish a positive bilateral relationship, and both the leadership of both countries have worked very hard to achieve that, and I think they've been overwhelmingly successful. Timorese police now train with Indonesian police. There's a very amicable relationship between political leaders. There's a great deal of cross-border trade. So it's a very positive relationship. And look, there's certainly still a feeling amongst many Timorese that there's been no accounting for very significant human rights abuses which occurred during the Indonesian occupation. But the reality, the realpolitik of the situation is that Timor-Leste is a very small country, a population of 1.2 million people. Indonesia is a very big country. It has a population of over 240 million people. So it's just a practical necessity for Timor-Leste to learn to get along with its big neighbour.
Back to the elections. Even though the old fighters are still dominating the political scene, Ko Ying Hoi thinks change is in the air.
A younger generation of leaders was emerging. So in related to this Popular Liberation Party, it would be an interesting new party to observe closely. Of course, this time around, they didn't field any candidates for the presidential election because it is relatively new. But this PLP is interesting where it is a party that is issue-based. So it is like getting itself out from the status quo and the comfort zone of the conventional Timorese politics.
This Popular Liberation Party will undoubtedly make a lot of noise during the upcoming parliamentary elections due for this coming July.